Blog Talk Radio.
I will rise.
There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eye. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. Victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise.
Praise you, Father God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We just worship you. We praise you. And I'd like to welcome you all to Rapture-Centric Church, where Jesus Christ is our pastor, guided by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit. We invite you into your church, your Rapture-Centric Church family tonight, to guide us and to shower us with your love and your peace. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We worship you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. And I would like to, I know it's afternoon and evening, but hopefully everyone put on their armor of God, and it's never too late. And I always like to start off with putting on your armor of God. So Ephesians 6, 14 through 18, therefore put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. That was Ephesians 6, 13 through 18. And let's do Psalm 91 for even more protection. So let's go here. Just one second. All right. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but will not come near you. You only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue Him. I will protect Him, for He acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him. With long life will I satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. Do you see me pray? Amen. That was Psalm 91. Please thank you, Jesus. I just lift up the whole RCC church and their families to you this lovely Sunday evening. And just we shower them with your precious blood. Cover them all with your precious blood and bring them peace and happiness and perfect health and abundance of your energy. We thank you, Jesus. We love you. And Jesus, we just are waiting patiently for your arrival. And we are waiting to arise to meet you in the clouds, Lord Jesus, to come home and live eternity with you. We praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, hi, it's Tawn, everyone. I am just going to welcome everyone who's in chat right now. Welcome, Carol. Love you, Carol. Love you, Deborah. Welcome, Deborah. Love you, guests. Welcome. Welcome, Nick. Love you. Welcome, Michelle. I love you. Welcome, Rosemary. Love you. Welcome, Jerry. Love you. And one other thing. Let's have some affirmations of the favor of God, and then I will welcome everyone listening, and I will welcome all of my brides that are waiting patiently on the phone. But today we welcome and receive the favor of God. We welcome and receive God's blessing today. Thank you, Lord, for your favor. There is nothing like your favor. We welcome and receive your favor. Everywhere we go, we walk in your favor. Today we have the favor of God and the favor of man. We thank you for your favor, and we welcome it. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's see. Let me welcome Keith. Hi, Keith. I love you.
Annie, how are you? That was wonderful. Oh, I loved hearing that. Oh, praise God. That was just fabulous. Thank you for reading that stuff. Wonderful.
You're welcome. And let's welcome Mama Pat.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Hey, Pat.
Hi, sweeties.
Hi,
how
let's welcome Jerry. Good. We love you. And this is Jerry, right? Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Tana. How are you?
I'm good.
Hi,
love
Pat.
You, Jerry.
Me too. Hi, Keith. Love you both. Hey.
Hi.
And this is Stacy. Stacy or Joe? Hello. Is this Joe or Stacy?
Hi, Tana. It's Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe. Love you, Joe.
Hi, everybody. I love you all.
Hi, honey.
What's up, people? My family, what's going on? We have some exciting stuff.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mama Pat. You just what?
Oh, no, I just peaceful day and talking to you guys. I thought I wasn't going to be here, but it canceled out. So I had other ideas, so I'm here.
I'm so glad you got to be with us, Pat.
Oh, yeah. My daughter was too tired, so I didn't go with her, so... That's okay. I'm here. That's where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll read he and I later to you guys, you know, and I don't think I have anything else really. Yeah, we'll get everybody on and everything, and we'll plenty of time to do that. So.
I think
everyone's on right now today.
I had a wonderful healing session today.
Great.
Right,
so good. Yeah.
Can you talk about it, Tom?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it was great. So I had so Rob came over. Rob is a really sweet man, very simple, very nice, very sweet, you know. But boy, he's anointed. The Holy Spirit's on him. He brought his son over, who's, you know, I think he was like 13 or something. Really, really sweet kid. Just such a sweet kid. so we you know, he comes over every Sunday now, and really you could see he's bearing fruit for the Lord by driving here to pray over me. You know, he lives in North Las Vegas, so it's kind of far. You know, so we talked a little bit. I could talk to him forever. We just talked about the Lord. It's so wonderful. You know, so he put his hand over my stomach and my intestines and prayed. And then I started feeling the strong Holy Spirit kind of like a blanket kind of coming upon me, and it started filling up around me and in my body. Then then we talked a little bit. He prayed over my brother's back and my brother's teeth, and I said, I want new teeth too, so pray over mine. So I'm going to get me some new teeth. Prayed over my teeth. I want a new screw. Yeah, we all need new teeth, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? It's like, why not?
Yeah, be 70 and think about teeth, yeah.
Then he put his hand on my head and, like, Ken was telling him, pray over Keith's mind to have peace and, you know, that stress to go through. It was great. It was like, it was such a power of the Holy Spirit in the room that all the symptoms went away. And then it just seemed like a blanket. At one point I saw, like, some smoke, and then I felt like the Holy Spirit was like a glove.
Whoa.
And it was working on my teeth. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I could feel it moving my jaw and stuff, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I know, it was so cool. And then the whole room filled up with the Holy Spirit. By the time he left, when I shut the door, I felt like I was in a blanket of fog of the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
It was
so
heavy and wonderful. And one of the things I talked about with him was, and I want to talk about this a minute, was one of the most anointed people that walked the face of the earth for God was Miss Wonderful Catherine Coleman, you know, and Catherine, a lot of people know Pat, you know about her. Catherine, I want to talk about her so other people can hear about her.
Sure.
Catherine Coleman was around in the 70s, and she was probably, I would say, last big healer for God that walked the earth. You know, we've got some today, but nothing like Miss Catherine Coleman. I sure loved her. I read all her books, and man, I like her so much. She she prayed stadiums in Los Angeles, and when she would, you know, all of you know who she is. If you went and looked her up on YouTube, you'd recognize her. She looked kind of, she had those funny talks, and she says, I like her. She's a hoot, you know. She wore those elaborate outfits and would talk real dramatic and everything, you know. You know, but she prayed at those stadiums, and she did not put her hands on people, okay. But when she was just talking, one person said that when she walked in that room, you could feel the power of the Holy Spirit like a vibration through that entire stadium. There's people that said that they were walking a mile outside the stadium, within a mile of that stadium, and the Holy Spirit's vibration was so powerful, anybody was healed within a mile.
Wow.
We're talking about, and my friend said that she went to one of her things, and she felt like this wind blow through the place, and it blew past her, like the Holy Spirit wind, and she was a little girl, and she said, I want my dad to be saved, and he was saved that night.
Wow, that's so crazy.
I mean, so a lot of people got healed with Catherine Coleman, with the Holy Spirit through Catherine Coleman, and I liked her because she said, Lord, I'm a daughter of yours, and I deserve diamonds and wealth. Oh, man, she was so cool.
Yeah.
So she said, she said, Lord, I want the diamonds, I want nice clothes, I want it all because I am your daughter, and I deserve the best. So she would go shop at the Neiman Marcus, at the Bullocks and stuff over there in Beverly Hills, and she said, Lord, I want the best. She bought the best outfit and the best clothes, and she had like she had this couch, which was like this 1920s couch, and she'd lay there with her cashmere and stuff, and she'd open up all the little envelopes, and people would send her cash all over the world, and she'd take her these $100 bills and fold them real small and tuck them into her little purse, and she would take all her friends and everybody out to dinner, and she would buy them the best steak in the house, and she would tuck, right before they left, she'd take a few hundreds and just tuck it right into their pocket. And she was a giver, Oh, yeah. She made sure everyone had money around her and that they were treated like royalty. I mean, she was like, and she would go, whenever she would pray, she would go in the room and she'd say, Lord, one more time, just one more time. Let's do it one more time, you know. And that's how it worked. She was a wonderful woman. And that's all I wanted to talk about. Just, you know, she came to my mind, and I just thought, what a great topic to talk about, how many lives the Holy Spirit sets through her. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Keith, I heard a video of her testimony one time, and one of the coolest things that I thought was, because I think it was really, really important from her personal perspective to her. She said, you know, God called her, and she said, well, you know, aren't men supposed to be doing this, leading the church and what have you? And she said, God just said, well, you know, I called men, and men have given up, and now I'm calling you.
Wow.
She was like ace on the list or something.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Yeah. And I think it meant, I think I remember it because it meant so much to her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God bless her.
Yeah,
she's
there was a guy
for all of us.
There was some guy on the, there was a, Believer Central One is like a wonderful woman that has end time events. You should check her out, Jerry and everybody. Believer Central, I think Believer Central. She's on YouTube. And she's like, that woman's got some energy. Oh, I like watching her. But she could, you know, and then some guy posted a thing below her video about how women should not be teaching and they should keep their mouth shut and they should not be doing any of this stuff. And I had said, you normally I just ignore these things, but for some reason the Lord wanted me to answer this. And so I had said, you know, Lord, how do you want me to answer this? I said, I already know what I'm going to say, but you just tell me what you want to say. And it's interesting because that boy, I let him have it, but it was good. And the Lord had said, you know, I will call who I want, when I want. And he said, and that's how I do it. And he also said, don't take Bible verses out of context to the guy. And then another thing Lord was talking about is in the end times, my sons and my daughters will prophesy, dream dreams, etc. In other words, preaching, prophesy, hello. And so I put that up there, and it was great because the woman was so encouraged and was like, thank you so much for saying that. I need to hear that. And,
sure.
And one thing I told the guy is don't go around tearing down what God has done, his kingdom. We're supposed to build up the kingdom and not tear it down. And so we honor women just as men, just like the Lord said, to go out and teach and do the Great Commission and all that stuff. You know, just and it's funny because then at the very end I said, Lord, is there anything else? And he said, oh yeah, Miss Catherine Coleman. And so then I went to YouTube, I typed her name in, and there was a video that said, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit, and that was the title. And so I put that video in there as part of the comment. It was so cool. That's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that thing with women speaking in church, you know where that came from? They said, it was funny. When women in the congregation couldn't hear, they would yell out, I can't hear. So that's what it said. That's what it meant. Women, don't call out like that. You know, it's not like they're not supposed to talk or anything, but just don't yell during the service that I can't hear
anything. Yeah, I knew it was something about that, Pat. I'd heard Paul was talking about something like that.
It got so misconstrued, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why Lord told me don't take it out of context.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, how easy we can get so off track. Oh, my goodness. But anyway.
No. I wish we had more Catherine Coleman's around. Boy, I'd be going to every one of her things and bathing in the glory of the Holy Spirit. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, you ask the Holy Spirit in for yourself, and you'll be, you know, he'll pour on you, you know, whatever you believe he will, because he wants to. You know, so everybody has their own dosing, their own relationship, their own whatever, their own gifting.
Yeah.
And it's all individual. So, you know, just tell them, pour on me, you know. You don't need to need a Catherine Coleman. You just need you with God.
Yeah.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. He wants to manifest to everybody. Sure. Everybody's got their own walk.
And their own,
talk.
You said, their own level, you know.
Yes, definitely. But the more you pray for him to... of course, he's going to, like it says in the Bible, if you ask, you don't give your children a scorpion if they ask for bread. So if you ask for wisdom or the Holy Spirit from the Father, he's not going to give you a serpent. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. It's no great mystery or secret. You want this. You're sincere. Guess what? You're going to have it. Because he wants to give it to you. You can't function through this life without it.
you're right.
Jesus said, I go to make a place for you, you know, and I give you the paraclete. And he speaks only from what the Father, you know, teaches. So, and that's
yeah,
what
and
we have as our instructor.
Like, we all have, like, different relationships with Jesus and Father God and
yeah,
the Holy Spirit. And it's
yeah,
interesting. You know, and that's always someone I can do more with is the Holy Spirit. They do so much with Jesus, Father God, you know.
Mm-hmm. They're all one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One Trinity, three divine persons. Yeah.
Yeah. Different aspects
yeah,
of the
soul. Yeah.
You know.
But, yeah.
Tom, I wanted to mention one thing about this heifer, the red heifer.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Jerry, are you taking notes? Get your notepad out.
I am. My ears
Jerry,
are set, Keith.
Take notes.
I haven't done a lot of study, but I had an experience today where it came up and
okay,
something I was looking at, and I think it's part of the reason why it's so strongly on your spirit, Keith. So, I mean, it's not a personal thing for you, but it's why I think you were pointing the red heifer at me, because I'm not ready to explain it yet, but it basically
I get
is.
It. I can see into your spirit. I get it. I understand
yeah,
it, you know.
Yeah.
So this is so your thing, though. I feel it, you know.
Yeah.
I
had something today, so.
Totally.
But I want
to. Oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, we're going to, so that red heifer, I read this little thing about it. Now, I remember we said how the red heifer, Israel needs the heifer. And actually, so here, this guy wrote this thing above Paula Marie's video, because my good friend Paula Marie had a video on the red heifer. She said, I thought this was profound what this guy was saying. He said, the definition of heifer is a young cow over 1 year old that has not produced a calf. So it's basically a young cow. And this one's a red one, as we know. Like Jerry said, it's got to be finger looking good. Every little part of it's got to be perfect. The hair and the whole, you know how the Jewish boys get all crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, her hair is out of place. Throw her out. Get rid of her. You know?
It should be unblemished.
So,
yes.
Exactly, unblemished. That's the word. Perfect, like perfect. And you know, it's easy for them to look red sometimes and then turn out to be like blemished. You know, like in the past. He said, interesting. Notice the word young. Now the ashes of the heifer are not sprinkled on the temple. They were put on the mount to cleanse it before the temple is built. So her ashes will be needed before they start the temple, and she must be young, capital young, he says, still. So I say if she's the one you'd be talking about, maybe 6 months or a year or a little longer before she's needed, that would mean that the rapture would be very soon, and then whatever causes the Jews to take control of the mount, whether that be war or peace. So what he's saying is if this little, after a year and a half, this heifer will be no good to them because they must have it young. So she's already 3 months old, okay? So they're going to ship her right away ASAP to Israel. So, and this is before the temple has started. So in other words, they need to do this. This is like he's talking about within a year, 6 months to a year, when they will be needing to use this heifer. Very important.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know.
Yeah, I think that's I think it's, sorry, I'm distracting myself because of the things that I was looking at today. But the red heifer is a type of Christ. And I'll just leave it at that right now. But,
interesting.
The red heifer is like the red ox. And the ox is the pictograph for Aleph, the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And, of course, the Hebrew alphabet starts with Aleph and ends with Taf, like Alpha and Omega, Aleph and Taf.
Right.
The Aleph, the sign for the Taf is T, which is a cross, is what we would call a T, but it's a cross. And so the ancient Hebrew alphabet has pictographs, and so you can see the Aleph in the constellations represented by the sign Taurus. And it's red because it represents Adam, as Jesus was the second Adam. And Adam means red, like the red earth. And so the red heifer, the red heifer reflects man's origin out of the dust of the earth.
Wow.
And it also reflects Christ.
Wow.
And the reason the red heifer is so significant is because it is the most accurate type of Christ of a heifer. And so the sacrifice of the heifer is a pre
a precursor to the sacrifice of Christ, and the sprinkling of the blood that they do is reminiscent of that also, of course. So it's very deep, and it's absolutely, and of course, what's that do? It prepares the sanctuary. Well, when Christ came, he prepared a sanctuary for us, and it was for the Holy Spirit within us. And so the parallels are extremely strong.
Yeah. Sounds like it. Wow.
Cool. Yeah, praise the Lord. We're ready, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're ready. Come get us now. We praise
Amen.
You. We worship you. Cool.
Tom, do you want me to go over the news?
I'm going to pull a song, and then we'll do that.
Cool.
I'm going to do this. I love this song. Thank you, Jesus. Not necessarily. Here we go. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you to this lovely song that I picked. Love you.
Better.
love, all right. Yeah, oh, it ain't talking
pretty
email.
Song.
That's very pretty. Very pretty. We should play Foreigner's I Want to Know What Love Is. The words are great on that one, too.
Well, I would have spoken, except I was swallowing my food.
Oh, okay. You're allowed to do that.
Yeah, sometimes it's not easy. You know, if I was just, the red heifer is in Numbers chapter 19, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there aren't really that many verses that discover it, I think, through verse 10. I'll start in verse 3 and read it. And if you think of Christ, Jesus as the sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
and being represented by the red heifer, you'll see how the parallels are very interesting.
Yeah.
It's Aaron and Moses were instructed to give the red heifer to Eleazar, who was the son of Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And his name means God has helped. So red heifer, representing Christ, is given to Eleazar, whom God helps, the priest. And now I'll read the verses. It is to be taken outside the camp and slaughtered in his presence. Then Eleazar, the priest, is to take some of his blood on his finger and sprinkle it 7 times towards the front of the tent of the meeting. While he watches, the heifer is to be burned, its hide, flesh, blood, and intestines. Of course, this is a natural thing for sacrifices. The priest mm-hmm. is to take some cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet wool and throw them onto the burning heifer. So you have wood and hyssop and wool. Well, wood and hyssop were both involved in Christ's crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
A wool is how, in a couple of places, the glorified Christ is depicted in heaven as a burning flame, including Revelation, and throw them onto the burning heifer. After that, the priest must wash his clothes and bathe himself with water. He may then come into the camp, but he will be ceremonially unclean till evening. The man who burns it must also wash his clothes and bathe in water. He too will be unclean, meaning a man who is clean, a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and put them in a ceremonially clean place outside the camp. They are to be kept by the Israelite community for use in the water of cleansing. It is for purification from sin. The man who gathers up the ashes of the heifer must also wash his clothes, and he too will be unclean till evening. This will be a lasting ordinance for both for the Israelites and for the foreigners residing among them. And this whole purpose of this was to cleanse the temple.
Mm-hmm.
This is a requirement of the law that the Lord has commanded. Tell your Israelites, bring your red heifer without defect and blemish. Anyway, so it's all in preparation for cleansing the temple. But anyway, that's where it's discussed directly. And anyway, it's symbolic of Christ. Not a type of Christ, symbolic of Christ. And Adam.
Interesting. Sorry, I had muted myself. I had muted myself during the song, and I was like, I was welcoming Stacy to chat. Love you, Stacy. And I was saying all this, and then like, Tana, I'm like, what? I'm here. What are you talking? And then Michelle's like, oh, I thought you muted yourself. And I looked, I'm like, oh, I did. So, yes, welcome to chat. Stacy, love you. Welcome, Gemma, love you. Welcome, Alana, we love you. Welcome, Roman, welcome, to chat. Welcome, Zanti, to chat. We love you. Yes, I muted myself, but not anymore. So, yes, thank you. We love you, Jesus, and Cool. Cool study on the red heifer, Jerry. Thanks.
And you're welcome. Since you said you muted yourself, Tana, I can reveal that I hung up on myself twice after I called into this show, which I've never done before.
I've done that before. And I'm like, I panicked. I'm like, oh, no. And I'm like, what am I going to do? But, you know, people are still on the phone chatting. So I oh, welcome Leah. I unmuted Leah. So welcome, Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Leah.
Hello. That's funny.
What's
up? Very
good. What's going on, Leah? What?
Not much, right? It's Sunday. So, hey.
Any
last thing you got from the Lord? Any words or wisdom or anything? Or Lord, Jesus has been doing with you lately? Oh, Stacy says she misses you, Leah.
Oh, I miss you. No, I'm just kind of, like, hanging out. And I think most of the things that I have are, like, all, like, just for me things, but I haven't done anything for anybody else, so I'll have to work on that this week. That'll be my goal. I'm serious. I'm just randomly going to just, like, you know, take on some people, so that'll be fun.
Mm. Okay.
Cool. Thanks. What did you bake today for me?
I didn't bake anything because I went to church, so... like for me, I work in the children's department like you do, so it's like an all day thing. So I'm like, yeah. Then it's like preparing for work tomorrow, which is what I'm trying to do. Get ready to go to the grocery store after this.
Oh, you know what? You and I usually discuss bake on Saturday morning. So what did you make yesterday? Anything?
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, I didn't bake anything this weekend. That's so bad.
It is bad. I agree. It's bad.
I had, like, a whole sheet cake left over from, like, last weekend, and so it took the whole week to get rid of the sheet cake. So I'm like, there was no need for any new baking.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you have some sweet to eat. You know, I was just concerned that we didn't have any sweets around, so at least you have that. Gary, were you going to share something or say something before I started talking to Leah?
Me?
Yeah, you started to say something, and I absolutely forgot to do.
I forget. It'll come back to me.
All right. Keep saying, let's do news.
Yeah, okay. let me turn in here. Okay, Israel, the Israeli Air Force launched attacks on several targets in Syrian-controlled Golan Heights late Monday night in response to a missile attack earlier in the day that killed a 13-year-old boy. You know, they're trying to keep under control and not get too crazy. Israel is with attacking too much in the Syrian area to start a big war, but, you know, you can only hold back so long. When your neighbors are out of control, you've got to load the jets and do what you got to do. I mean, Israel's been sitting around too long. That's the reason why everybody's building up around them. But I'm glad they launched a strike. It means they're not tolerating, you know. Al-Qaeda faction reunites under ISIS. Oh, boy. So rival Al-Qaeda jihadist militia groups are crazy with the Islamic army and joining ISIS. Major U.S. city next target for Islamic terror. So you can see how ISIS is sort of pulling everybody into them and, you know, taking over. Kerry warns insurgency in Iraq threatens entire Middle East. Yes, that it does, Kerry. Beware ISIL. Iran's Rudin warns petrodollar states. Iran's president warned on Sunday that Muslim states which funnel petrodollars to jihad Sunni fighters wreak havoc in Iraq and will become the next target. Okay, that's the Sunni jihad, the two fighting Iraq, Iran stuff, more of that. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu strongly discourages the U.S. from working with Iran. I don't know when he will learn that we're just not for his nation and they need to go to war and they need to take Iran out. He keeps trusting this stuff, and it's like now come on, no American president would be working with Iran, for God's sake, and slamming them against Israel. It's crazy stuff. South Dakota Republicans passed a resolution demanding Obama impeachment. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so they're trying to impeach him, which won't happen. Islamic law spreads in Iraq. Oh, well. Okay, so, yeah, there was another city that was taken over in Iraq. It looks like it's coming up. Reunion Island volcano wakes up after 4 years of major eruption. Whoa.
Wow.
The French Indian Ocean island, I guess, called Reunion Island, woke up. There's a lot of volcanoes. There's 66 of them heating up right now around the world. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And they're hearing about signs in the heavens and signs on Earth. They're all there. ISIS seizes Iraqi-Syrian border crossing at Qaim. Q-A-I-M. I don't know how to say that. So, wow, ISIS seizes Iraqi-Syrian border. Oh, boy, ISIS is getting out of control. Iraq is like an open field for them to take over. We have nobody over there because we screwed up last time. Well, this is like wide open target to go crazy. And then you've got Iran who wants to join in. And then you still got Ukraine over there. Russia's trying to enter Ukraine. I think they're already in there, to be honest with you. So the whole thing is going to pop and blow up. And you've got Israel, you know, ready to do something. Lake Tahoe region is rattled by 5 earthquakes. Long overdue for a 7.0 magnitude. Wow. Cashless high. Basically, there's a suburb in Manchester. Shoppers will find their cash is worthless in one Manchester suburb, as only card will be accepted by stores on the street. Okay. This is really interesting. It's purple on the red blood moon. It's called a Shemitah year. I'm not saying it right. S-H-E-M-I-T-A-H. Shemitah year. First come the red blood moons, then the Shemitah year. So they're saying, basically they talked about the Harbinger judgments that happened every 7 years, and it happens again on September 2015, which is when the stock market will collapse. So the last one was in 2008. It happens every 7 years, collapse, after the Jubilee year. So 2008 was one, the next one's 2015. And that's also the same time that Israel will get, they're supposed to have their, the concept there is that Israel's supposed to be forgiven of debt and all that kind of stuff. But for some reason, it works the opposite, opposite with other nation Gentiles. So the French Jews leave for Israel at a pace unseen in decades. French are, they're trekking out of town. They're headed straight back to Israel. I just want to read just really fast that article because it's so, this Jubilee thing, it's got me going. Got me going. That and that red heifer, that's all I'm dreaming about these days. Jerry and I always think about the red heifer. That's all we talk about. So here it is. Here's the article. I'll just read it. First come the red blood moons in Shemitah year. So do you think that the blood moons phenomenon has come and gone? Do you think the omens of a mega bestseller, the Harbinger, and the bestseller, the Isaiah 9:10 judgment, are all history at this point? Think again. The most interesting times are ahead, according to Blood Moon's author Mark Biltz and Jonathan Kahn, as we all know, those two were the ones that discovered the Red Blood Moon. The messianic rabbi who riveted the world with his teaching about harbingers of things to come for America based on biblical patterns he discovered. This fall, the second of 4 Blood Moons will occur October 8th, coinciding with the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, also known as Sukkot. A partial solar eclipse will also take place 2 weeks later, and we know that during the solar eclipse, that means a world war, so expect a world war around October 8th, 2 weeks later. 2 more blood moons, of course, Passover in spring of 2015, and the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall of 2015. Biltz, the teaching pastor of El Shaddai Ministries in Washington State, blah, 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 points out that previous blood moon tetrads, a series of 4 eclipses in history, have come upon or around significant developments of Jews' state of Israel. Likewise, the key discovery in Kahn's The Harbinger and the Isaiah and Judgment is the pattern of biblical Shemitah years and their relevance to economic calamity in the United States. While Kahn is not making any predictions about what is to come, many of those familiar with his work are eyeing the date September 13, 2015, with interest, if not dread. The number one best-selling Christian book in America over the last 3 years has the number one best-selling Christian book in America over the last 3 years has been Kahn, The Harbinger. Points that America's 2 greatest financial shakings occurred on successive Hebrew Shemitah years following the 9/11 Islamic terror attacks on the U.S. The key to the series of limited judgments the author sees as a result of America's turning away from God, as ancient Israel did before the dispersion. While Kahn prefers not to speculate on what, if anything, might befall America on September 13, 2015, it will be the next Shemitah year, which occurs on Elul 29 every 7 years on the Hebrew calendar. In fact, the last one was 2008, stock market dropped 777 points, so we're expected. I guarantee you it'll collapse 2015 September. So we won't be around because we're, according to the timeline that I've been researching recently, the tribulation has to start in October, and we've got to get out September at the very latest, if Trump is, if not now. It is a time when desperate to be forgiven in the land and the agricultural communities of ancient Israel was to be given a rest. September 17, 2001 was the beginning of the economic calamity associated with 9/11. 2 days earlier, Lehman Brothers, one of the nation's largest firms, collapsed. September 2001 was Elul 29 on the Hebrew calendar. Likewise, September 29, 2008 marked the next big crash. September 29, 2008 fell on Elul 29 also. Mark built his Blood Moon book and movie deal with the 2015 Shemitah year and what he expects might happen on September 13 next year. All this is laid out in a detail, easy to read, blah, 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 to buy the book. A clear pattern has been established. He said, I don't believe it's coincidental what happened in America on Elul 29 in 2001 and 2008. It would be foolish to ignore the possibility that a greater judgment might be in the works, especially if America continues to move away from God. So expect a greater judgment in 2015 September, but we'll be in heaven talking about it. We won't be here. Farah believes that the date September 13, 2015 bears close watching, though he's quick to admit he has no idea what, if anything, will happen. Oh, we know it'll happen. It's also noteworthy that the Elul 29, 2015 represents the eve of the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah at sundown. I mean, can you imagine? We've cut Elul 29, hitting on a red blood moon, hitting on the Feast of Trumpets, I mean, hitting on Rosh Hashanah, their Jewish New Year. It's like, it doesn't get more crazy than that. The blood red moon is expected for that evening. The Feast of Trumpets begin the period known as Jews' Days of Awe, the last through Yom Kippur. Also, just so everybody knows that the Rosh Hashanah, which is what I had a lot of visions on in the past, is also no day, no man knows the day or hour of feast, because they don't know what the day or hour was to start, because it has to be a new moon out. So they'd have to go look up in the sky. So they call it the day, no man knows the day or hour of feast. Very interesting. So since then, blah, 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 let's see. So basically, yeah, this is what it's talking about. Things are going to rock and roll for America, economic collapse. There's a timeline I wanted you guys to, especially you, Jerry, get your paper out, start writing. It's I want you guys to subscribe to this. His name is Justin Roberts. Justin Roberts on YouTube. And he's like English guy, and he's got timelines. Really good stuff. He basically took a chart, like a spreadsheet, and he's putting like red blood moons and all the things that he's putting, like the signs in the Bible with the Antichrist and all the different stuff. And he's come up with a little timeline of events, and he's got a 4 or 5 part video series, and the latest one is showing how the tribulation has to start in October. So I was like, wow. So Justin Roberts, I suggest you subscribe and watch his videos. Yeah. I like timeline. There's another guy that I go too slow. See me as a timeline guy, but his stuff has been off a little bit, so I'm on to the new guy. I just love that stuff. You know what I mean? Because it's like just putting events there, and it basically it's kind of like a way of figuring out when the heck we're getting out of Dodge at Rapture, you know. So
It's an expired date for us. We have our Rapture expiration date.
Yeah, exactly.
I have another bride on the phone, 978. Let's find out who 978 is. Hello, 978.
Hi.
Hello, hi, who's this?
This is Kathleen. I didn't press 1, but do you do readings?
No, we don't do readings. No, but we're just talking
about
the
Lord.
That's
why I didn't press it.
Oh yeah, I can mute. You can mute yourself, or I can mute you. But yeah, you're welcome to listen. But welcome, we love you. Welcome to Rapture Centric Church.
Okay, you can leave me on to listen.
Sure.
Okay, sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So anyway, welcome. Keep me. Were you saying something?
Keith? Is Keith done with the...
No, that was it for the news. Yeah, I covered everything. I'm turning it over the floor to everyone else.
Okay.
Thanks, Keith.
All right. There was something that Deborah actually posted this morning. It's called, when people try to 777, it's called The Salt in Your DNA. This is an interesting thing that I was going to read. Bear with me because it's scrolling, so I'm going to try to. It says, try to get it, but scrolling, you know. Okay, it says, my sister Melanie was given a prophetic dream from the Lord Jesus Christ on June 13, 2014. In this dream, a plane had crashed. A second plane was dropping shards of metal into the skies. As a family, they were on the run to find a place of safety, and the other family that was fleeing with them had become infected with the metal particles there, from the metal particles. There was a great emotion of fear within them. Also, in her dream, while she was on the run, she ran into Ramona Singer, who was doctor, scientist, and UN troops. And the UN troops were also trying to capture her. So she ran into Ramona Singer, who was a doctor scientist, and the UN troops were also trying to capture her. At another part of this dream, my sister was sitting in, at an airport, and the people in the seats were transforming into bizarre creatures. The infection that came upon these people in her dream gave them desire to kill others. From their skin erupted oozing sores. And then she said, end of dream. And then this is what the Lord told her. Dear children, I have asked my daughter Gwendolyn to write my words regarding the dream that I have given to her sister Melanie. In this dream, there are many important facts that as your Lord and Savior, I want to warn you about. These dreams that I give you, give to my children are to be taken quite seriously, for this is one of the ways I communicate with my children the events that are about to occur or are already occurring in the last days. Children, although it is crucial to share, it is crucial to share your dreams with one another, it is more important that you spend time with me. What I'm trying to say, and then for some reason she goes again. I don't think she realized she did it twice. Back to go back. Okay. What I'm trying to say to your children is that it is important to share the dreams and visions I'm giving to my children, but it's more important than the majority of your free time at my feet. We are in the most evil times of the entire existence of mankind, and I am asking my Lord to spend extra quality time with their Lord and Savior, learning to hear my voice and learning how to draw closer to me. This is not a difficult task for many, but for some, it is like pulling teeth. Children, if you need to, turn off your electronic gadgets to decrease your distractions. Then, if you need to turn off your electronic gadgets to decrease your distractions, then please turn them off. It is really difficult to have a conversation with the Lord and Savior if you are constantly being interrupted, and it's not very polite. Just because you cannot see me doesn't mean that I am not there with you. Just because you cannot see me doesn't mean that I don't have to be respected. I am the King, and I desire to spend time with you without having constant interruptions from the busyness of your lives. These interruptions hamper the growth of our intimacy. In the future, please turn off your electronic gadgets while you're sitting at my feet. In the first part of your sister's dream, there was a plane crash. Children, the plane crash is a result of the polarity of the Earth being offset by nuclear explosions. Yes, children, the NWO, which is New World Order, will be ushered in with the chaos of a nuclear war, and there will be many of my children running for areas of safety, just as my other daughter, Melanie, in this dream. In the second set of her dream, there was an airplane that was dropping particles of metal upon the peoples of the Earth. This plane had one purpose. Its purpose was to make my children sick by dropping from the sky particles of flu viruses and bacterium that will make them fatally sick. Currently, the NWO is dumping many things upon my children from airplanes. At this time, they are not dumping fatalistic diseases, but in the near future, this will be the case. They will dump the bubonic plague and the Ebola virus that they have genetically engineered for the last days. They are all working in tandem, scientists and the NWO, to bring chaos in the hope that they can usher in the mark of the beast. If there is no chaos, no civil or financial unrest globally, they will not be successful at convincing people to take the mark that is necessary for survival. It will be implemented at the time of unrest throughout all societies of the world. While their plans are being carried forth, there will be many of my children dying across the globe from their man-made disasters and laboratory-grown diseases. This has been their plan all along, my children. Get ready to be introduced to the beast. And then there's more. Okay, and then it says, in my daughter, Melanie's dream. In my daughter, Melanie's dream, there was an actress who was playing the role of a scientist. The reason I placed this scene on my daughter's dream was to point out that no one is immune from the chaos. No one. That includes celebrities or those who have previously had prestige in their occupations. All those actors and actresses that have been whining and dining with the NWO will soon discover that their fun is over. There is no more impartiality when it comes to the plans of the beast. Rich or poor, famous or infamous, it makes no difference to the beast. In the final portion of my daughter's dream, she was sitting in an airport as she observed many of my other children transforming into other creatures. Do not be shocked by this part of the dream, children. When one of my children take the mark of the beast, they will eventually develop sores all over their bodies. These sores will grow and fester and have much drainage. This is the side effect of metal particles that have been implanted into their bodies. When I designed mankind, I did not intend for them to have metallic substances impregnated into their bodies. These sores are not only a sign of disobedience against the Creator, they're also a sign of an allergic reaction to the metallic substances within human tissue. It is written in my holy word that my children die from lack of knowledge, and that is why I am having all of my end-time messengers get these dreams and visions out for the entire world to see. The mark of the beast will also internally separate you from your Creator indefinitely. So please, children, realize what is coming to your planet and decide now who it will be that you will serve. Will it be your Lord and Savior, or will it be the beast? Also, children, remember that in order to escape all these things, you must live a life that is holy unto me. Are you living holy? Are you repenting daily of your sins that separate you from me? Are you communing with me routinely as a child that loves and respects her King? Are you doing unto others as you would have done unto you? Children, you must do everything that is within you to escape all these events that are coming very soon. I am a God of compassion, and when many of my children continually ask when I am coming, be happy that I have not yet come. If I came today, many would not be able to escape the horrors of the Great Tribulation. It is so soon now, children. Please hear your Lord and Savior now. It is any moment. It is at any moment. Get your lives in order. Pray for the lost. Pray for Israel, too. My seed of Israel needs your prayers, especially now. My seed of Israel needs your prayers, especially now. P.S., daughter, the creatures that my children at the airport were transforming into were creatures of biotechnology. Once the metal particles grow into the central nervous system of my children, they can all be controlled remotely by computers all over the world. This technology is being used by the beast now as he is planning on having my children turn on each other and wage war against each other. Not knowing it is something that is not within their power to prevent. The beast will turn my children who have received the mark into killing machines to serve the purposes of eradicating mankind as soon as possible. They will actually seek out others who do not have the mark and make a blood sport of it, a blood sport of killing one another. This demonic technology must be stopped, daughter. The army of the Lord will work mightily to hamper this technology from reaching its final stages. Thank you for asking me to delineate further on this part of the dream, daughter. And I believe there's one other thing. I love you, children. I am coming in the clouds, King Jesus.
Wow.
So there's, yeah. that was an interesting
thing. I have a message from True Life and God. It's dated 2005, September 23rd. It's kind of a warning too. It's kind of strong, but it's for the ones who are not listening, and I think if they hear this, they will listen, because he says what's going to happen to the earth, and ain't pretty. So you let me know. Yeah.
Okay, I think I will play a song, and a worship song, and then we'll do that. So let's worship our beloved. Okay?
Okay. I see them.
Thank you so much.
Praise you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you. We love you. We love you, Lord Jesus. And we can hardly wait for you to appear and come bring us home. I'm going to worship you with Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. We worship you. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. And let us welcome Mama Pat with her reading that she has.
Okay, this is from True Life in God. These are messages that were never put out. This only came out a few days ago. And it's like, it's a warning to those who aren't listening. It's a warning to everyone who's thrown sand in his face because he's kind of really hurt. So this is what this, it's three paragraphs, but I'm going to read it. It takes a little whatever to read it, but after what you just said, I wasn't going to read it, but after you said the dream, I felt that maybe I should. Okay. This is 2005. If anyone has anchored himself in the world and not in me, he shall not find me ever. Renounce to your will and to the passions of the world and come to possess me. By possessing me, we shall form an alliance of peace that will last for eternity. And I'm going to use her name here, but God told Vasila, wherever we hear her name, we are to put our name because he loves us all equally, and he's given this to every one of us. I appeared to you, my Vasila, it could be my whoever's online, and healed you, or in chat, just put your name there. I granted you to walk on sapphires leading you into my kingdom. I am calling everyone to me before my retribution comes upon this world. The days are approaching, for I no longer can tolerate this apostasy. When the earth will tremble, know that this is only this is only the beginning of what will befall upon this evil generation. I have descended, and this is, he just cries out, I have descended in this vast graveyard, walking among tombs to resurrect you. I called out to the tombs to open, so they did. To raise my sons and daughters and renew them was the gift of my love, inflamed with the desire to resurrect them. My desire hurled me down into the tombs. Before you knew, I lifted the dead from their graves and embraced them. This is my gift to you that should remain constant. To those who will remain devout, they will, hold on, it just clicked off. Oh my goodness, hang on a second. To those who remain devout, they will obtain my blessing as a reward. Now go and proclaim my love at daybreak. Daughter, this poor Jesus. Daughter, I have never imposed on anyone my love or my presence. I have come as a reminder to put order in this disorder. And yet in spite of all my visual wonders and signs, in spite of my repetitive calls, in spite of obvious graces and gifts distributed by my Holy Spirit to all mankind, in spite of all my odes, his odes of love, like the bridegroom stuff I read to you a while ago, to you, generation, in spite of my merciful approach, the response I received was indifference, persecution, and disbelief by some mockery and deliberate rejection of my calls to repentance, spitting on my blessings, flattened with anathemas, and the resurrections they see that I performed in front of their eyes are received with disdain or at least are ignored. They read the scriptures with unseeing eyes. Daughter, I had warned them ahead of time of the calamities that would fall on this earth on account of their sins, calamities and destruction that come true, and still they hesitate in belief that all of this is drawn by them and not by nature. When I had said then that the earth will shake and come out of its axis and that the islands will move away from their places, no one believed me. No one listened. They would take no advice from me. They spurned all my warnings. When today I will tell you that from the wickedness and apostasy of this generation, the cosmos is endangered, they will still not believe. When they see the earth I created riven and torn into pieces, fear will grip those stubborn souls. The flood will be nothing in comparison to the destruction that my fire will do to this world. From the enthralls of the earth, fire will spit out and from the crevices filled with liquid fire, rivers will form, rivers of fire that will spew out and spread in each city, putting ablaze the earth. The anathemas you were giving to my envoys will all fall back on your heads. So it's a warning that he's had it. And we are out of here. Oh, boy. Yeah. He's very unhappy God with this generation. And from 1986 up to 2005 or 6, he has given the most loving. I have the book. There's 25 years of him speaking through Fasula to all of us. Love, mercy, I mean, you name it. Invite, hymns of the bridegroom. And this is 2005. He's saying, who's responded? He's got a handful on earth, maybe. You know what I'm saying? So this is a severe warning that, he's very merciful, but the return is like, it's not too good. The majority of this generation just ignores him, disdain, indifference. No one, they're not listening. And he doesn't know how to wake. He's done everything he could. All the all the prophets, all the everything through all these times. Maria, Divine Mercy, Conchilia. There's five of them that I know. Anyway, but no one's listening. He had Basula under terrible pressure and persecution. Go out to all the churches, every denomination, even the Muslims, everything, and preach Christ. And this just came out. And this is his feelings. This is his feelings, guys, right now.
Yeah.
Well, duty to chat. Yeah, people get ready. Jesus is coming. Get your houses in order. Jesus loves you. He loves you no matter what, and he's waiting for you to love him back, people that are... I know everyone listening is ready for him to come. We're awaiting his arrival, but... when we're gone, this is going to be an archive for others. So,
we just had a blueprint of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Publicly, I just was reading G77 and the China Summit calls for New World Order. He put that up 2 hours ago. And then the radical Shiite army rises up in Iraq, in March. All right. So those are Paul Begley's headlines. Jerry,
yeah.
Did you do your Daniel study yesterday? Did we hear it?
Yeah, Jerry.
I think I'm going to save that for another day, but because we can do Daniel 8, but I really think that it would be a little bit better for me to cover Daniel a little more broadly, and then I haven't figured out how to do that because it's pretty involved. I mean, Daniel is pretty mixed up, literally. And explaining some of that at the beginning, I think, will help everybody. But I probably should be for another day. But I do have a couple things. the dog ate my homework. The groundwork for this is actually things that I was feeling today. Yesterday he told me there were no more steps left, and we talked about that on the show, and so I was inquiring about that today, and essentially that means get ready.
Yeah.
And so if there's nothing left to do and we're a bride, what should we be doing? We should be trying to get ourselves looking and acting and having the state of mind of an expectant bride.
Yeah.
And which basically means getting prettied up. I mean, And I just before our show started this evening, I finished listening to yesterday's show, and I will explain this more tomorrow or some other day. But I think tomorrow, yesterday's show was a time marker, kind of. I think it was a bellwether. And I think it will have meaning looking back on it. And so I was spending some time with that, and I was listening to Pat talk about her really powerful experience, the presence of the Lord in the service that she went to. And part of one of the things she said was she had a hard time describing the feeling that she had, but it was one of dignity and confidence. But I think she meant also, and along with expectation and waiting. But I'm wondering, Pat, if that was like a bride-like sort of
what I
feeling.
Felt when I was with all these people who were so full of love and so full of the Holy Spirit and Christ. It was like being in heaven. And I sat there feeling the dignity of what it would be like just to be a lover of mankind, a lover of Christ, Him loving us, Him loving everybody. I can't describe it, but I felt the dignity of being God's creation, God's child, God's bride, in all fullness. I can't describe it. But it was like I wasn't on earth. I was like in heaven.
Like,
this is
like
what it would
down.
Be like in heaven with these like people and the presence of Christ overflowing you with all His dignity, all His tenderness, all His respectability, just like what it would be like fully to belong to God and act like God wanted you to act, feel like He wanted you to feel. That's what overcame me. And it was like I was in heaven for like 3 or 4 hours with all these beautiful people who really love the Lord. I mean, I go to Mass. Okay, at this Mass, we had our hands up in the air praising the Lord. I mean, you don't do that. You don't do that. This was like, that's the Holy Spirit. He wants you to do that, and man, He's going to move. And His presence was overpowering, and the presence of Christ. Yeah. So it was like peace of heaven all day.
Yeah.
All day. Yeah, that's, I can't describe it, but I just felt like that's how I would feel if I was in heaven, like this great sense of dignity of belonging to God and all the decency and purity and kindness and goodness and perfection God is. That perfection somehow reached me, you know. Not that I'm a sinner, I know, but it was like a different state of being. Like, this is how heaven would be. We have such peace, such dignity, such presence in Christ to be just as He is, all His virtues, all His character. That's what we're going to be, to perfection in heaven.
So he had me thinking about the feeling of going down the aisle, you know, just being really the center of attention and being prepared and being ready to be presented as a fit bride. And I also had an impression. Deb had a dream yesterday, or not a dream, a vision, I think, yesterday during the show. And I'm going to preface what I'm going to say by just asking a couple of questions, general questions of everyone. You know, God likes to work through His people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as believers, we're the people He likes to work through.
Mm-hmm.
And so when He works, you know, when we follow Him, what do we say? You know, we walk in His footsteps, for example.
Yeah.
Deb's impression, and I think she's in chat right now.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
when she described all that, it made me think that Jesus was trying to say to us that what she saw was that Jesus was taking footsteps in sandals, but that when the sandals lifted up, the impression He made was a diamond in the sand.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if He was trying to say that the followers are diamonds, are the diamonds, that the people following His footsteps and doing His work are the diamonds. And what He was saying to me, metaphorically, was that, you know, we're the diamonds. We're the ones under pressure. We're the ones doing the work. But the end product is the diamond. And I think that's what He was trying to say, was that we're walking in His footsteps. And by following him, we're becoming diamonds.
Yeah, okay.
And so I think he was being a little shady and sort of sending us a message, really, about that. I think Deb really delivered a message for us.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Thank you, Deb.
Thank you. Why were you giggling, Pat? Was the Holy Spirit calling you something?
I don't know if I want to say that. No, it might be taken the wrong way. When we first came on, when we did telephone on me and Jesus called me his diamonds, I was thinking about the diamonds in the step. And I'm like, okay, I mean, that threw me completely that he called me that. You know, he says, and then, yeah, you're his diamond, you know. And it's like, you know, you're going to knock me over with a feather. I mean, I'm just so ordinary and common and nothing. So I was using diamonds. So I'm saying all of us are the diamonds. All of us, not,
yes.
You know, yes, all of us. But I was remembering that telephone thing everybody did on me. And it threw me. It really threw me. Yeah, and they said, and chat was like, yeah, she's Jesus' diamond, you know, the Jesus. And it's like, to me, we're all diamonds. We're all diamonds. Maybe you want to be a ruby. Rubies are beautiful. Hey, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to be, you know, we're all one in him. All one. Like everything I had that day at the ceremony, I just kept putting all of you in my heart and like everything I was experienced with Jesus really flirting through Oliver in plain English, he was, and even you said he's just having a good time with you. I just put everyone in my heart and I say, I put everyone where I am and that everyone receives everything that I have. You know, I don't keep anything for myself. But yeah, but that's beautiful. Leaving diamond footprints. I think someone should try to go deeper into that. I'm like the dummy do, so I can't do it. But somebody should go. Why diamond footsteps? Why can somebody ask Jesus? Maybe because that, you know, it wasn't. He didn't leave a different kind of a shape. He left the diamonds. So what does that mean? That's something very lovely, I'm sure. Yeah. Why diamonds?
Keith, what do you think that means?
Keith, yes.
What do I think the diamonds mean?
Why did he leave diamond footprints?
Say that again.
Why did he leave diamond footprints? Had a vision of a dreamer vision of when Jesus was walking, when he moved his foot, there were diamond footprints or something, right, Jerry?
Yeah. Why a diamond?
I don't know, I have to ask him real quick. Do you guys talk about the diamonds and all she tells me?
I like aquamarines, really. They're blue and pretty and shiny.
I like diamonds. I like sapphire. I like sapphire.
Yeah, I love anything blue or blue-green.
Yeah, blue's my favorite color. So.
Oh, yes. Yes, any kind of the blues or the greens. You got my number. But, But that's beautiful, beautiful analogy of something very special, you know.
I really got that right away, but I just didn't have a chance to get to that. But today, as he was taking me through the process of understanding it, of understanding kind of where I'm at, this whole idea that if all the steps have been taken, if there's nothing left to do, then what we should be doing is preparing ourselves for him.
Yeah.
And, you know, having the right frame of mind, the right countenance, you know, metaphorically wearing the right dress, basically being ready, ready, you know, for the bridegroom to come. And you know, I think that was the message he was sort of sending yesterday. So, but then that really strengthened what I felt like I was receiving from Deb's impression of the diamond footprints.
I really think he was
sending us a little bit of a shady message to us about, you know, something of beauty. Yeah.
Yeah. Room Rosemary yeah. was saying, we are polished stones becoming diamonds. And then she was saying, we are living stones in his church. Stones are diamonds, so his church is made of diamonds. That's what she's saying.
It means something really lovely.
Yeah.
It really
does. And Stacy says the diamonds do represent us. In Aaron's dream, when she threw the diamond, Jesus caught it. We'll be caught up by him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We walk with Jesus. We polish our stones into diamonds. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, the Lord just told me that when the diamonds, when he, the footprints of the diamonds in him is representing the fact that every step that he's taken in our life is like a treasure, like a diamond. And it's, you know, we've learned, we've gone through trials with it, but we've also, from the enemy, but when the Lord steps in our life, we've gone, the treasure is what put those people, our life back together, the pieces back together. So it's like a treasure. And also things that we can keep learning from and learning from long after they're gone, and like save them like a diamond, you know, and ponder it and see what's, you know, like a treasure, what's taught us in our life and stuff like that.
But when you think of a diamond, what it came from, a piece of coal, didn't somebody just say something about we're being, maybe that piece of coal is just being pressurized or something and turned into the diamond, that because we've all been pressurized.
Yeah, we polish our stones into diamonds. That's what God said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so walking with him, yes, we were blemished, unclean, or whatever, but in continuing to walk with him, and continuing to walk with him, we are become polished and polished and polished, and we're turning into diamonds.
Beautiful.
And we are now diamonds. We are now diamonds.
Yeah, because it takes a process, a long process. That's why diamonds are so expensive, a long process for coal to become a diamond. A long time.
We are now polished and ready to go. We are ready to be married to our Lord and Savior. We are brides just waiting to go in from the chamber down the aisle. Yes, Gary?
I'm just thinking about, yes, Pat just mentioned the process of making a diamond. And I mentioned pressure, but I left out heat. And I just remembered that when we were praying yesterday during the show, lots of people, including me, felt additional heat, felt warm. And so at the same time, Deborah was getting this impression about diamond footsteps, many of us were feeling heat while we were praying.
Wow.
Well,
I was just getting hammered.
I haven't. I mean, I've been feeling more and more Holy Spirit. For weeks.
Oh,
and,
man.
You know.
Especially with this show. When this show comes on, everything is glowing. He's so alive in the picture. And I'm like, I just almost have to push words out because I just want to just bathe in the Holy Spirit and don't do anything. You know.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
this always happens with this show. This is like a prayer meeting online. I've been to so many prayer meetings, and you just get hammered, and there's so much love. And this is like a prayer meeting online on the telephone. It's just, that's to me what it is. And it's just as powerful because the Holy Spirit is just touching everybody, you know. Because we're all sincere in wanting to do God's will and bring others to him, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, he's using that.
Yeah. And this year, I'm going to let's worship to the Lord, Amazing Grace, because we were all pieces of coal, but now we're diamonds, ready to go home. The grace of our Father. Crazy.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now That's all my heart to feel, and grace my fears relieve. How precious did that grace appear, the eye I first believed. My chains are torn,
keeping us safe and guiding us. Praise you.
Praise you, Jesus.
Walk with Jesus. We polish our stones into diamonds. When Jesus walks on diamonds, he is walking among us. When we become diamonds, we are ready to go. Jesus has talked to me, meaning Rosemary, at length about us being his diamonds, ready to place in the walls of his church.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is the grand diamond. Jesus is the master architect.
Okay.
I had just
a paragraph on divine mercy from St. Faustina. I think this is so beautiful and so consoling, if it's okay. He says, Jesus says, souls who spread the honor of my mercy, I shield through their entire lives. As a tender mother, her infant, and at the hour of death, I will not be a judge for them, but the merciful Savior. At that last hour, a soul has nothing with which to defend itself except my mercy. So that's beautiful to know. Yeah.
Yeah, amen.
Mm.
Gary, did you have more that you were going to talk about?
I saw in the chat earlier, I can't remember who, I think it was Stacy, who had was looking at a series of sevens relative to like July 7th being 7/7 and so on. And he's got me looking at a period of time sort of marked out partly by yesterday. And I need to spend some more time on it because some things came up today, and I want to make sure that I've got it right. But in general, I think it's a very strong encouragement, and I think it fits with, warning times and other things like the releasing of the doves from Noah's Ark. Noah, I know, it is in the Hebraic tradition that Methuselah died 7 days before the rains, before the skies opened up. And so I think, I'm not exactly sure how to point this out right now, but basically I think, yesterday didn't just happen for no reason, I think it is part of his plan. I think it's a very strong sign of his timing, and we'll have to see how it plays out. But he was definitely with us, and it was a strong encouragement, as we've received a lot of them. Really, if you think about it, we've really received a lot of powerful encouragements, and so I. I'm going to spend another day, maybe two, on it, and I'll explain myself better. But definitely he has me looking at this week and maybe another week or two, but I'm very focused at the moment on next Saturday.
Whoa.
So I need to work with it, and I sort of have the feeling he's going to show me something else. So I'm sorry to be cryptic like I often am, but I just want to make sure I've got it. I want to make sure I've got it right, but I think it's very, very safe to say that he's made it very clear to me that yesterday was an important time for our family.
Yeah.
Actually, Rosemary says, I believe yesterday is a powerful too, a marker.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Cool. All right. So I'm going to read. I'm going to do Beatitudes, Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you and falsely speak all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Thank you, Jesus. It's in the payment of Matthew 5. And now, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. That was Matthew 6, 9.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool. Do you want to do some communion?
Sure.
Do communion? I don't think we've done communion in a couple days. let us remember our Lord and Savior who comes through our communion. So everyone, get your elements ready, or your air elements this time evening. And we just thank you, Jesus. We just praise you. We worship you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the sacrifice that you made on the cross for us. We ask you to forgive all our sin, and thank you because of your cleansing blood that our sins, our iniquities, and transgressions have been washed away by your blood shed on the cross. And thank you, Lord, that, for allowing your body to be broken, to be scourged and beaten and spit upon and insulted just for us, taking all of our oppression and all of our sickness, disease, and all of our poverty on your body with you in death. Because of your death on the cross, Lord Jesus, our flesh is crucified on the cross with you. And because of your resurrection from the dead after 3 days, Lord Jesus, we are new creations in Christ Jesus. So let us go to 1 Corinthians 11:23. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Everyone, break the bread and eat your element. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." You take the cup, drink the cup. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Thank you.
What would I do without your smart mouth? Drawing me in and you kicking me out. You got my head spinning, no kidding, I can't pin you down. What's going on in that beautiful mind? I'm on your magical mystery ride, and I'm so dizzy, don't know what hit me, but I'll be alright. My head's underwater, but I'm breathing. You're crazy and I'm out of my mind. 'Cause all of me loves all of you. Love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections. Give your all to me, I give my all. You're my end and my beginning, even when I lose, I'm winning. 'Cause I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. Oh, how many times do I have to tell you? Even when you're crying, you're beautiful too. The world is beating you down. I'm around through every mood. You're my downfall, you're my muse. My worst distraction, my rhythm and blues. I can't stop singing, it's ringing in my head for you. My head. I'm breathing fine. You're crazy and I'm out of my mind. 'Cause all of me loves all of you. Love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections. Give your all to me, I'll give my all. You're my end and my beginning, even when I lose, I'm winning. 'Cause I give you all of me. edges, all your perfect imperfections. Give your all to me, give my all to you. You're my end and my beginning, even when I lose, I'm winning. Cause I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. Oh.
Wow, thank you, Jesus. Praise you.
Oh, that's beautiful.
We praise you. I'm just going to read what Carol in chat. So you shed your blood so we could enter the throne room, the Holy of Holies, with boldness and true assurance of faith in order to behold the beauty and presence of our Father, Creator, Redeemer, and King. We are your body now, Lord Jesus. Because of your death and resurrection, we are now truly one body united in you, Father, Word and Spirit. Praise your Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving us so much. You did not give up on us when we got dirty with Satan's sins. So thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Thank you. And she said, you proved to Satan we could still choose you. Thank you, Jesus. And we choose you. We choose you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We choose you, Jesus. Praise you. We choose you. Psalm 67, may God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the people praise you, O God. May the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the people justly, peoples justly, and guide the nations of earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God our God will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. Please name me, pray, amen. Psalm 67. Anything anyone else wants to share that?
If you want, he and I.
7 minutes left. Okay, go for it.
What, dear?
You may read it.
Oh, you want me to read? I can't. It's breaking up a little bit. It's hard for me to understand.
Yeah, you may read.
You want me to read, honey? Yeah.
Yeah. Huh?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I can read he and I. Okay.
Okay.
Jesus says, "Have faith. Everything becomes simple. Then it will be simple to love me." Simple to serve me, simple to be happy to suffer for me. Believing is almost the same as seeing. To see me, what progress, what riches to exploit when you speak to me, when you tell me that you love me. The proof of your love the proof of your love for God is the affectionate care you take of your neighbor. Be sure that you see me in him, and that you charm me when you charm him. This will keep you humble beside him. Always be the smallest. Think of the size of the host. Remember today to do your best to speak to me when you speak to your neighbor. I expect this of you this afternoon when you get together with your friends. You would not want to refuse me anything this week of my passion. This was during this passion. Would you begin? I'll continue. When you were very little, your mother would say, 3 stitches on the canvas, and that was all you did. She finished the row. Look at me. Am I not still more tender than your mother? How happy you will be when you believe in love as it is, as I give it to you now, and as I want to give it to you in eternity. Hunt for me everywhere. I'll let myself be captured with such joy. How could you expect to find me if you don't search? And when you have found me, give me to others. There are people I'm waiting to reach only through you. This is the mission foreseen for you from all eternity. Don't be unfaithful. I was faithful even to torment, even to public disgrace. Look full in my face and try to understand. Enter into the inner stillness. Everything was for my children, for you, my child, like a love letter written to you with my blood and received by you long afterwards. But I am always alive, and my love is always the same.
Amen. Thank you. Stacy wants me to read Psalm 45. So, Psalm 45, my heart is stirred by a noble theme. As I recite my verses for the king, my tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. You are the most excellent of men, and your lips have been anointed with grace, since God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your side, Almighty One. Clothe yourself with splendor and majesty. in your majesty, by force victoriously, in behalf of truth, humility, and righteousness. Let your right hand say awesome deeds. Let your sharp arrows pierce the hearts of the king's enemies. Let the nations fall beneath your feet. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. Your love righteousness, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. All your robes are spread with myrrh and aloes and cassia. Some palaces adorned with ivory. The music of the strings makes you glad. Daughter of kings are among your honored women. At your right hand is the royal bride and her gold of Ophir. Listen, O daughter, consider and give ear. Forget your people and your father's house. The king is enthralled by your beauty. Honor him, for he is your lord. The daughter of Tyrezo, come with a gift. Men of wealth will seek your favor. All glorious is the princess within her chamber. Her gown is interwoven with gold. In embroidered garments she is led to the king. Her virgin companions follow her and are brought to you. They are led with joy and gladness. They enter the palace of the king. Your sons will take the place of your fathers. You will make them princes throughout the land. I will perpetuate your memory through all generations. Therefore the nations will praise you forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That was
Amen.
Psalm 5.
Amen.
So I'm going to end with
Beautiful.
A song. So let's hear. Spirit of the bride, say, come. Thank
oh,
you, Jesus.
Lord Jesus, come.
Come. We love
Jesus.
You. Thank you. We love you. We worship you. Thank you, everyone,
everyone.
In chat. Thank you, everyone online.
Love you,
Thank you, Miss Amy.
Love
you.
Love you. Love you. Love all you
love
guys.
You, thanks. Love you, Pat. Joe.
Here we are. Oh, happy
Joe.
Day.
Love you, Tom.
Jerry, everybody love you. Love you all.
Love you. Thank you.
Bye,
happy
guys.
Day. You're here to take us home. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you.
Love you all.
Bye. Love you
okay,
all.
Okay, we'll talk tomorrow, sweeties, if we're not up there.
See you in the air. Have a blessed
okay.
rest of your evening.
Okay,
bye.
Have a blessed evening.
Bye.
Bye-bye, loves. Bye-bye.
Love you.
Bye. Love you all. Love you, Jesus. Praise you. Bye.